ladies and gentlemen, to the Lineup Logic Podcast, the NBA DFS podcast, bringing you the lineup construction ideas for FanDuel. Sean Kane here, your host. Really happy to be here. Week 3, Lineup Logic. Find us on Stitcher. Find us on iTunes. Our audience on SoundCloud is going strong. Please subscribe, rate, review, retweet if you are, and if you're listening frequently, I am eternally grateful. 23rd of January here, Monday. Great weekend of hoops. Great weekend of fantasy. Forgive my voice. That is a result of just talking loudly in bars, watching the AFC-NFC Conference Championship game yesterday. But a great weekend of basketball as well. Some ridiculous fantasy performances. Hopefully you were on Gobert. Hopefully you were on Boogie when he went for 60, or Dwayne Wade when he did 55. Eric Bledsoe last night, 56. Big Cat, 58 last night. Just crazy performances in the fantasy world. Really exciting stuff. And I want to take a quick moment. Hopefully you guys tuned in on Saturday. I know it's kind of a down day for fantasy sports, but it was a nice slate. I want to thank Josh Fernandez. Josh jumped in there on Saturday morning while I was doing some other family-related stuff and took the pod and absolutely rolled with it. Some great advice. He was on Carmelo on Saturday night, which was a rock-solid pick. And you know, some other solid selections. And then I want to thank all the guys who jumped into the Saturday League. I tweeted out a late little link to like a 10-man. Thank you to those who jumped in there. There were some great lineups, great choices. People were on Decker. They were on David Lee, the late news about Sean Kilpatrick and Joe Ingles. Actually, Josh was on Joe Ingles also early. I wasn't on Decker or David Lee, mostly because I was doing the neighborhood barbecue dinner thing with kiddos, so missing late news. But King Zito taking it down with 320. Shout out to Zito. He was on Boogie and he was on Kawhi, which for studs were definitely some of the best point per dollar studs on the night. So shout out to King Zito. Well done, sir. Well done. In the next hour, we're going to preview the night to come in the NBA, spreads, injury news, and a breakdown of players to target on the slate upcoming. But let's recap the previous show lineup. One of these nights. Okay, I'm going to go back to Friday's lineup, not Saturday's lineup, because that was Josh's lineup. And I, you know, if he wants to break down some of those calls, you know, like I said, he was on Ingles and he was on Carmelo, which were rock solid. So some good calls by Josh. But Friday's lineup, a couple changes. Obviously, we went into it, but we went into some changes late with some late news. We cashed comfortably with a 277, kind of a low money line, just because studs really weren't hitting value. So we rolled out Jeff Teague, Mike Conley, Klay Thompson. The late news about Norman Powell starting got me on Norman Powell as a punt play, because I've had such good luck with Norman Powell previously in the season. Had to go back to him. It didn't pan out this time, but that's okay. Kevin Durant, Aaron Gordon, Marvin Williams, Thad Young, and then the process, Embiid. So glad that Joel Embiid is not seriously hurt. That was terrifying and so distressing. I was obviously, for fantasy purposes, he was just absolutely crushing in that game and on track for 50, no question. And owned at 14% in cash. I was like, what are people, why are we fading Embiid in cash? But he had that knee, that dunk, he came down funny. And I was just like, one, please don't go out of the game, because I want you to put up some more fantasy value. But more importantly, I want you to continue to play in the NBA, man. Philadelphia is so good with him on the floor. Anyway, takeaways from this lineup. The big takeaway from this lineup is I was tinkering all Friday afternoon. And you got to stay disciplined in your value plays, okay? Like plays like Marvin Williams, Josh was on Marvin Williams, Aaron Gordon, you know, and Thad Young was also a great value play, right? Good situation in LA, right? Okay, so all guys who are below 5'5", in that value range, great situations, staying disciplined in that, and not tinkering off of those guys to try and, you know, get too cute and spend up in some spots. You know, maybe I tried to get a couple spots where I was thinking maybe, okay, maybe I can get off Gordon and get on Paul George. Well, Paul George only scored 35 points, and so did Aaron Gordon. I mean, staying disciplined in your value plays is so important. You know, and I like to classify value plays in that kind of, you know, obviously 3-5 and up, min price and up, but you know, you got to know that they're getting starters minutes. So it's really anywhere near that 5K range. Because the truth is too, that punt plays are a massive risk. You know, Norman Powell, we got on him to say, okay, I got on him and that allowed me to get onto Jeff Teague, basically. Like I was originally on Alfred Payton, and getting on Powell allowed me to get onto Teague. Well, Payton was one of my value plays, more or less, that wasn't disciplined enough to stay on. Payton had an incredible situation. He was going to take on a massive usage bump with Meeks and Fournier out. He had a good DVP situation. He was just in a great situation to perform, and he did. He performed better than Teague, who Teague was in a good situation as well at LA, but you know, staying disciplined there and risking the pump play just wasn't worth it. I would have probably gotten a lot. I would have likely finished with, you know, somewhere in the 300s if I had stayed with Payton. So, or close to 300, which on a night when their scoring was down, you'll take it. So, you know, you got to stay on your plays. And make sure that you're not, you know, making changes just to kind of, because, you know, the research will tell you where the value is, and you got to stay on that and stay disciplined. All right, enough about that. Let's dive into tonight's games. Okay, we are looking at a nice little 8-game slate, I believe. And in those 8 games, we have number 1, Washington at Charlotte. 213 total. Spread is 4.5. Nice pace in this one. Should be a pretty good pace. Washington keeps the pace up. You know, middle of the pack as far as pace. No major injuries to report in this one, so everybody should be a go. You know, then we're moving on to San Antonio at Brooklyn. 217 in total in this one. San Antonio coming off the big OT win with Cleveland. They're favored by 11.5 on the road. A lot of injuries on the San Antonio side of the ball. Tony Parker out with a foot sprain. Pau Gasol is out with the broken finger, opening up a lot of value for San Antonio bench players, second unit of San Antonio. Look at David Lee, Deontay Murray, things like that, Patty Mills. And then on the Brooklyn side of the ball, Joe Harris is out, which opens up Sean Kilpatrick. I was on Sean Kilpatrick on Saturday night. He had a nice little line. Seems to do more with more minutes. You know, when he knows he's going to get those minutes, Sean Kilpatrick gets a little bit more aggressive. So, you know, I mean, go ahead, Brooklyn. I think Sean Kilpatrick's probably the only play that I feel. Sean and a little bit of Trevor Booker, just because the minutes are there. Those are kind of the only plays that I feel comfortable with. But I'm kind of fading that game just due to, well, I'm not fading the value plays, but I am going to fade any of the starters just due to blowout risk. All right, moving on. Clippers at Hawks, 206 total in this one. Should kind of be a pace down, defensive-minded game. Crazy, man. You know, people don't like the Hawks, but they are 8 games over 500. And they are like three games back from like the Clippers record right now. I'm looking at this and I'm like, geez, Hawks are almost of the same record as the Clippers. No one would think that, right? We would always think the Clippers are better, but the Hawks are playing consistent. They're playing well. They destroyed the Bulls the other night because they're just good defensive team. Injuries in this one, of course, we know Chris Paul is still out. We know Blake Griffin's still out. So, you know, we got a lot of backcourt value for the Clippers. Raymond Felton seems to be playing pretty well in this one. He will be chalky along with a lot of the along with the Austin Rivers. Okay, moving on. Golden State going down to Miami. 216 total in this one. Kind of a rematch of what happened on the West Coast. Golden State favored by 11.5. No question, obviously, that Golden State is playing kind of out of their mind. This is a subpar opponent. Tyler Johnson, game time decision. Josh Richardson out, obviously. Deion Waiters is in there now getting that start. So, some injury value on the Miami side of the ball. No major injuries to report on Golden State. I think some of their bench players are going to rest on the second half of a back-to-back, old guys like Livingston and Iguodala. Sacramento at Detroit, 203 total. Detroit favored by 5 in this one. Pace down game, big time pace down game in this one. Detroit and Sacramento is one of the slowest paced teams in the league. So Rudy Gay still out, Omri Caspi still out for the Sacramento. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has got it's a rotator cuff. They've diagnosed it. The shoulder is a rotator cuff, so he is likely out as well. Don't know really what we're gonna see as far as a timeline is KCP's return. We'll probably know more in the coming days. Houston at Milwaukee. This is a nice one. 222 total in this one. Plenty of fantasy goodness here. You've got a 5-point favorites in Milwaukee, and obviously not a ton of injuries. Ryan Anderson's coming back for Houston, which is probably going to put a bosh on the Sam Decker love. So keep an eye on that. He's been sick. He was, started in that Golden State game and then just was like, I can't go. Cleveland at New Orleans, 217 total in this one. Cleveland only favored by 7. Interesting. A little bit closer than one would think. And it opened at like 5.5 or 6. And I think people jumped on the over and, jumped on Cleveland to cover. And, it's wise to do that. Anthony Davis game time decision for probably 1 million different various injuries, but this time is the thigh contusion. I think this game gets very interesting from a fantasy perspective if Davis plays. It gets very uninteresting if Davis does not play. New York at Indy, 218 total in this one. Indiana favored by 5 at home. Joakim Noah, the ankle, possibly he played on Sunday. Don't know if he's going to play again tonight. They may rest him on the back-to-back, which could open up, the Kyle O'Quinn sweepstakes, where you plug in Kyle O'Quinn and then you wait for Jeff Hornacek to write back to you and tell you whether or not he's going to start. So that's really the only major injury news that we have to worry about in that one. OKC at Utah. This is the final game of the evening. 204 total in this one. Utah favored by 5 at home. Steven Adams still concussion protocol. He was seen practicing shoot around on Saturday, so he's got limited activities. This game is a good game if Adams is playing. I don't know what to make of this game if Adams doesn't play, because Rudy Gobert should just eat, and Gobert's been a freaking animal lately. really, really pretty impressive what he's been able to do on the rebounds and the defense and everything. So, but if Steven Adams plays, then okay, then you've got a physical body to match Gobert down there. You know, and we talked last week about the impact that Adams has on the massive positive impact that Adams has on the Thunder, from rebounds to defensive rating to offensive rating, and it's just it's huge, especially for Russ. But Ronnie Hood's still out, so that's going to open up some Joe Ingles for us, who's just been wonderful as of late. Ingles has been crushing value and. Not that highly owned, which I don't know why, but you know, I've seen him under 20% for like a perfect value play that's getting 28 minutes, locking in and below 4K and exceeding value every time and has a history of exceeding value. I don't understand why people are fading Ingles. I guess we were all on Decker, but Ingles is great. I love Ingles. All right, let's go ahead and let's break down the players here that I love. Who do you love? Okay, so we're going to start with the lock and load, where you're going through your studs. And we are talking about studs because we're talking about who do you want to roster, who's a stud, who has a ceiling opportunity. Because we've talked about this before, there's nothing more dangerous than a stud who only goes 3.5, 4x. You can absolutely kill your lineup. It killed me on Saturday night because the studs that I rostered in Jokic and Butler both went 3x. You're done. That's 40 points right there. You're out of the money. You want your studs to perform because you want them to get full minutes. You want them to be in a situation where they can succeed. So let's look at the point guard position. We'll go position by position and break down the studs that we like the most at each position. At point guard, we're looking at John Wall, and I love John Wall tonight. He's actually one of the top, my favorite studs on the slate. He's got a plus matchup. He's got a competitive game. He's got a nice situation going up against Kemba. His price is back down under 10K. He's consistently getting 36 minutes. And John Wall has had a great game last time out against the Hornets. He had 25-10 with seven steal game against the Hornets. So, and what you love about John Wall is the peripherals. He just offers so much in the way of assists and steals and even rebounds. You know, he'll grab that rebound and start that break for the Wiz. So he has 11 games this year with three or more steals, and in seven of those games he's allowed 45 plus points. Last three games for Charlotte, they've allowed 9 steals on average, so you know, which is top five allowed steals. You know, basically average for the league and allowed steals is 5.5 to 6. So if you're below that number on the season, great. Charlotte's allowed 9 in the last three games. So maybe John Wall gets a couple steals. He gets a ceiling opportunity because there's a competitive game into the fourth quarter. I love John Wall tonight at 9-7. Giannis has the Rockets, and this is kind of a rematch. We broke down Giannis, and we were on Giannis last time he had the Rockets, and it's a great situation now because he's back. He's at home. He's coming off some rest. The pace-up game for Giannis is a huge, huge bump. It's a huge situation for him. This should be one of the highest-paced games of the night. He just runs the floor so well. He scores so well in transition. Last game against the Rockets, he had 58 FD points. He scored a season high of 32. He shot 65% from the field on 20 attempts. That's huge. I mean, clearly he's seeing opportunities against this Houston team. And Houston, like we just talked about, you know, turnovers and steals, average being 5 to 6. Houston's allowing 8.5 turnovers a game this year. That's top three most turnovers. So, you know, that is a great situation for Giannis. I love him because I just think he's the best. That's great analysis, Sean. Thank you for that insight. At small forward, you actually got a couple price up studs. You got Kawhi, you got LeBron, and you got KD. Based on spread, based on situation, the most competitive game, if Anthony Davis plays, is going to be Cleveland, New Orleans. You know, Kawhi at Brooklyn is just that coming off the overtime game. I don't trust Pop just to not give Kawhi even 27 minutes. Like, he just, that would be a situation where he's like, my team is so banged up. Kawhi is coming off overtime game. He doesn't care. He's going to put, you know, he's going to rest Kawhi. He doesn't want to get these guys hurt. You know, that's just Popovich for you. And we know that Kawhi isn't going to hit value or exceed value unless he gets full minutes, which is why he was such a freaking sharp play on Saturday night, because you had a really competitive matchup against Cleveland. And that's when you want Kawhi. You say to yourself, oh, no, I don't want Kawhi against LeBron. It's wrong. That's the wrong approach with Kawhi. You want Kawhi in the most difficult matchups that you can. You want him against Jimmy Butler. You want him against LeBron. You want him in those competitive games because he gets more minutes than he usually gets. It's insane how efficient he is with his average of only 28, 29 minutes. But, you know, against LeBron in a competitive game, he's going to get 34 minutes, 36 minutes. So you love, that's how you play Kawhi. And so if you were on Kawhi on Saturday night, good job. So it's LeBron anyway, okay? That was my Kawhi situation. But LeBron against New Orleans, it should be a competitive game, you know. The thing that I really like about Cleveland recently, they haven't been blowing people out. They're allowing so much scoring. They are allowing 115 points in the last three games, which is insane. You think of them as a pretty defensive team, just not the case. You know, they let Phoenix hang around. They've let a couple of these subpar teams in the last 10 days hang around. You wonder if guys are banged up or they're just missing, you know, their rhythm. I don't know what it is, but Kyrie and Kevin Love just have been playing terrible. So LeBron, it is, if you want to spend up at small forward. Okay, at power forward, it's the Brow if the Brow goes. I don't love rostering the Brow in cash just because he's so volatile, but it's a solo stud situation, okay? The solo stud situation, what do I mean by that? Well, there's these certain situations in the league where you have great teams, you know, you have your power teams, you have your Golden States, you have your Clevelands, where there are other guys who distribute the scoring. So you have studs, but they're in situations where a lot of guys could do a lot of scoring. New Orleans is not that situation. You know, it's like New Orleans, OKC, and, you know, and like Sacramento with Boogie. That's the guy. Russ is the guy. Brow is the guy. Boogie is the guy. That's it, you know. So Brow's at home. If he plays, I think that, you know, like I said, the Cavs are allowing teams to hang around. They should allow, Brow should be able to do some scoring. You know, coming off that late game against San Antonio, you don't know. You don't love if you're the Cavs having to get on the road and go down to New Orleans and play. So, you know, last time the Cavs blew somebody out, it was Brooklyn, and that was way back in December. So, Brow had 20-16-2 with three blocks against the Cavs last time, and you gotta love the block effect. He's one of the league leaders in blocks, and he's got 16 plus games of three blocks. You know, I mean, if the Brow gets you three blocks, that's, you know, that's 0.5x, you know, just that for three quick plays. So you kind of love the blocks on Brow. You love those peripherals. I'm always trying to scout those peripheral stats that help add value to guys in sneaky ways. You know, free throws, blocks, steals, things like that. All right, at center, it's Boogie. I don't know, though. You know, I could very easily see myself going down to Gobert, especially if Steven Adams is out. But, okay, Boogie it is, 10-9. I'll describe what I like and don't like. I like the situation. I love the situation. Remember, Rudy Gay is out. He's got a 40% usage rate. He has a good history against Drummond of hitting 50 points. He's done it in the last three times he's seen Drummond. We looked into it last show. Again, 2015, 2016, he had 50 FD points both times. He did it again this year when Detroit came to Sacramento. He's got the solo stud effect that I just talked about with Brow, which is really nice. The thing about it is he's priced up. You know, 10-9 is one of the highest prices that we've seen for Boogie on the year. You know, ceiling, I think, is like 11K for price for him. So at 10-9, you're kind of like, ooh, geez. You know, you need 55 points to hit value, more or less. I don't think 50 is unrealistic, and I love 45, but 55 is kind of nerve-wracking. Okay, so I think that, you know, they're on the road, you know. It just, they could get slowed down, shut down by Detroit, who plays a pace down game. I don't think you have to play Boogie at stud at center. So we'll see. There's some mid tier guys that are a good option. Now I'm gonna tell you about Hassan Whiteside, but there's no way in hell I'm gonna roster Hassan Whiteside. Okay, I don't trust him. I don't trust the man at all, and you shouldn't either. But he's a good GPP play if you feel like you want to take some risks. If you've had good Whiteside luck, I want to know your secret. I don't know what you do. I don't know if it's voodoo, was it Magic 8 Ball or what. But I have the worst Whiteside luck in America, and I don't like him. But I'll tell you why you should pay attention if you're a Whiteside guy. Golden State is the worst in the league against the center right now. Okay, they're allowing 60-plus points to the center position over the last five games. That's a lot. That's a lot. Whiteside hit 50 against them last game. That was about 10 days ago. However, he has not exceeded value in his last four games. And in the last 10 games, he has four of those games with less than 25 points. Okay? I don't know, guys. Whiteside terrifies me. You know, if you want 30 points, go get Miles Turner. If you want 35, you know, get Dwight Howard. Don't pay 8-7 for Whiteside, who's deadly inconsistent and terrifying. All right, fantasy grout, mid-price guys to fill in the second tier, 5 to 8K range. Starting it off, it's George Hill at 61K, or 6.1K, Oklahoma City coming to town. Late game. George Hill is playing really, really well. He had 45 the other night against the Pacers. He's got consistent peripherals and rebounds and assists. Here's something that's very interesting. Diving a little bit deeper into George Hill. So against the Pacers, 11 free throw attempts. That's clearly strategic. That's like six to eight more than what he was averaging earlier. That's clearly a strategy play by coach, by the Jazz, for him to get to the line. And he hit 9 of 11 there. That's huge. So if you're wondering, why does Hill go from being, you know, a pretty consistent 30, 32 point FD, you know, points on a regular basis to 40 something? Well, it's the free throws. There it is. 9 free throws. 9 points. Okay? That's a strategic move by them and the Jazz. And like, that's something that they can replicate. You know, they can start running buckets for Hill where he gets to get to the line, you know, where he gets, you know, absorb the contact and go to the line and get some free opportunities. So, you know, if he's getting even 8%, 8 attempts from the line shooting at the rate that he does, you get 6 free throws. That's 1x value for George Hill. You're getting a whole 1x just from the free throw line, and that's huge. He's a good free throw shooter. Mashup with Westbrook, we know the history there. Expending so much energy on the offensive end that Westbrook is a solid DVP play. You know, I think this game should be close. As does Vegas. You know, Utah's defense is, you know, scary but not not unbeatable. So, you know, the thing you hope is that Adams is back. If Adams is back, it gets even more competitive, better game. You know, good opportunity for Hill. Then you got Tyreek Evans, 5'6". He's in the Cavs game here. So I recently read a fantasy book. I try to read some of these ebooks on fantasy sports. I just like some of the research that guys do and some of the different opinions. I think it's a little bit more holistic view of the games that we play. There's some really good ones on football. But there's a pretty good one that I read on basketball. It wasn't amazing, and it was poorly punctuated, which, as a former English teacher, drove me bananas. I was like, dude, you're going to publish a book, people are going to buy it, and you're just dropping commas everywhere. Proofread. Anyway, Tyreek, that was inappropriate. I apologize. Off topic. Tyreek Evans, 5'6". The point of the book was he's like, you should always be paying down for shooting guard because they're so scoring dependent. Unless you have a shooting guard who has peripheral stats. Tyreek Evans is one of those guys. He does rebound. He does get assists. The other thing that we should be looking for is a regression candidates. Regression candidates are the opposite of chasing points. Okay, if you're going to chase points tonight, then go roster Deion Waiters. He just had a ceiling game. You're going to look at those game logs and you're going to go, oh, wow, Waiters had 47. Yeah, Waiters is a shooter, and Waiters gets hot, he's going to have 47 points. But you don't chase. The reason you don't chase is because of regression. Regression happens in both directions. You know, you get negative regression where guys go back to their mean. You get positive regression where guys will go back to their mean after their price goes down. Tyreek Evans, price down, 5'6". He has had, you know, some opportunities where he scored up 30 fantasy points this year. The only thing that I don't love about Tyreek Evans is the minutes. The minutes are not very good. He's only gotten 20 more minutes in a couple. So you don't have to roster him because there's a lot of value. But I think that Tyreek Evans is a nice mid-price option at shooting guard. When you compare him to things like, when you compare him to Clay, Clay's at 6'2". Clay just is not, he's not hot right now. They're trying to keep him involved, but it's just not really that great. And he's facing one of the best defensive backcourts. Miami's very solid against a shooting guard. In fact, they're number one over the last 10 games. Eric Gordon is a decent option at 6'1". You know, he's had a decent bounce back game against Memphis. It's a decent DVP situation against Milwaukee. His ankle seems healthy. But I don't love that price for Eric Gordon. You know, if I'm thinking of how do I get to 30, there's a lot of ways to get to 30 on this shooting guard slate. And Gordon isn't going to get you more than that. He just doesn't do ceiling games. He just doesn't do that. So if you like Gordon, I think he's GPP play, but I just don't love his ceiling. So Tyreek Evans it is, 5'6", not bad. I'm not chasing Waiters. You know, it's Evans for me. So going over to small forward, I'm looking at a lot of possible regression candidates, okay? So you've got a lot of guys who are priced down given role and situation. Looking at guys like Trevor Ariza, priced way down, just hasn't been doing much. Paul George, though, is the one that really appeals to me. 7K at New York. He's had a couple really difficult games against Carmelo this year. You know, and his usage is down. So, you know, you don't love Paul George right now based on situation, recent performance, but you do expect some regression for Paul George. And I think at 7K, we kind of have to jump on this price in a pace-up game with the Knicks. You know, his last couple of games, he hasn't shot well with against Carmelo. He just kind of had a bad average. But I don't think that Carmelo's defense is really like a world-stopping game changer for Paul George. So I like Paul George at this price, and I like Paul George to kind of have a bounce-back game and maybe get us 35 FD points, 36, 38. He was averaging 38 for a while back there. And then just kind of fell off for a little while. So it's not crazy to me that Paul George goes for 38 and at 7K, you know, you're exceeding 5X value there. So they think that this is a good time to jump on Paul George rather than fade him. You like the peripherals. He's always going to get you some rebounds and assists. The minutes are consistent. And like I said, pace up situation in New York and a close spread, you know, and he's at home. So, you know, I think Paul George is an easy mid-tier play today at $7,000. Okay, moving on to power forward. There is a lot of guys priced in the 6K range, 5 to 6K range. I'm going to profile four of them that are pretty much almost identical in the situation. That's Markieff Morris, Tobias Harris, Enes Kanter, and James Johnson. That was kind of any at as high as 6'4 and as low as 5'9. So they're all averaging over 10 points, about six assists, six rebounds. And James Johnson actually is averaging six assists but 10 points, and the other guys are averaging more points. All getting about 30 minutes. High-impact players, exceeding salary about 75% of the time, 5 to 7 points above salary. So, you know, you're going to look at this situation and you're going to probably be like, these are all pretty attractive plays. And they are all pretty attractive plays. None of them are in perfect DVP situations. So you don't really look at the DVP situation as much. I think this is a situation where you want to look at pace. And if you're looking at pace, the two slowest paced games are definitely going to happen for Kanter and Tobias Harris, right? Those two games are, you know, we've got Utah super slow pace and Detroit and Sacramento both very slow pace. Miami versus Golden State makes James Johnson's situation probably the best. Tyler Johnson is out. His usage is up. He's at home with Golden State. He had a nice game against Golden State, 27 points last time, and he happens to be the cheapest. So if you think they're all going to go for 30, then okay, fine, get the cheapest one, which is James Johnson at 5'9". He had a nice game against Milwaukee last game. So, you know, Johnson is good also for the peripherals. He should be able to battle with Draymond pretty easily if you like that price point. Although we will talk in the value section about David Lee, who is a cheaper and even a better situation, I think. At 5'1", so I do like David Lee. Going down to center, this one's pretty straightforward for me. I really like Miles Turner, 6'3", he's got the Knicks. This is a good matchup for him. His price is down. You know, he has been up almost as high as 6'8", I believe. He's a regression candidate. He's a positive regression candidate here. At 6'3", 35 points is not crazy for Turner. He's done it a number of times, 30-something, 30 to 35. That's where you want him for value, and that's nice. You like the matchup with Noah in the Knicks front court, which is they don't rebound very well. And Miles Turner just is, you know, an athletic young big who should be in a good situation against the Knicks. I like Turner at 6'3". It's a good price. Heading down to the bargain basement, we got to stay disciplined here, guys. There's a lot of value on this slate because we got a lot of teams banged up, you know, Spurs and Clippers on this slate. So we got a lot of banged up people, a lot of value. At point guard, Patty Mills will get a major bump because Tony Parker is out. Okay, I don't mind Patty Mills against Brooklyn. But we also have Austin Rivers and Raymond Felton getting you Atlanta. So I really like them. Of the two, Raymond Felton is cheaper, and they're pretty much averaging the same 25 points in the last couple games without Chris Paul. At shooting guard, you've got Dejounte Murray at 3'8", and Danny Green at 3'5", both in the Spurs rotation. Dejounte Murray I like the most because he actually has been playing a little bit of point guard, and Pop seems to trust them, and he's playing really well. And then you also have J.J. and Jamal. J.J. Redick, 4'7". Jamal Crawford, 3'9". Jamal Crawford's got a shot back. He's hit 20 and 22 FD points, so you're okay with that. Small forward, it's Joe Ingles. The other small forward value that interests me is Thabo Sefolosha. He's min price, or 3'6". Minutes are coming back for him. He's kind of reclaimed his job, I think, over Kent Bazemore. Had a couple really nice defensive outings, so I think he's reclaiming some of those Bazemore minutes. Bazemore minutes are down, which is good for Cephalosha. Fantasy value, you know, really nice price, kind of sneaky tournament upside, decent matchup with the Clippers. You know, if he gets 30 minutes at almost min price, you really feel good about that. Power forward, it's David Lee's got a good situation against Brooklyn tonight. He should be chalky because he exceeded value last game and his price jumped. But you like the matchup with Brooklyn. He's filling in for Pau Gasol. The one thing you worry about is that Pop is going to switch some of those minutes over to Dwayne Dedman to try to take some of the pressure off of Lee just because he played big minutes last game. So keep your eye for any news there. But otherwise, David Lee should be able to get some good minutes against Brooklyn. Still in play, as guys we've talked about, still in play, Spates. You know, obviously with Blake out, Spates is a huge offensive value for the Clippers. And Anthony Tolliver still at 4K for Sacramento while Omri Caspi's out. Now, Tolliver really hasn't done anything recently, but, you know, minutes are there. Situation for both Spates and Tolliver is pretty so-so. Matchups really aren't great. But, you know, if you need to spend down, then they're decent punt plays, I think. At center, there's a couple different values that are pretty sweet. Below, I mean, Miles Turner is really nice at 6'3", so I'm kind of locking him in, especially in cash, just because, you know, we know what's going to happen with Miles Turner. But I do also really like Tristan Thompson, you know, 5K, 5'1", I think it is. He's got New Orleans. That's a great situation. Terrible rebounding team, and Thompson should get some run in that situation. Joakim coming back. You know, if he plays, he plays maybe limited minutes. So you got to keep an eye on that, whether or not there's any limitations or he's a game time, because that means the ankle's still bothering him. And in which case, it might be Kyle O'Quinn, which, okay, fine. Kyle O'Quinn against the Pacers is not bad, because the Pacers, even though Miles Turner is in a good situation against the Knicks, Pacers are not a great situation, not a great team against the center either. Like, Rudy Gobert had a nice game against them. And then it's Dwayne Dedman against Brooklyn. Dwayne Dedman, almost mid-price, he might get more minutes just to kind of hedge for David Lee and stuff like that. So Brooklyn not good against the center. Dedman is definitely in play. Okay, let's go ahead over to the lineup lock segment here. This is, of course, where I'll build out a lineup out of the guys we've talked about today on the pod. And I think, you know, what we're going to really try to emphasize, you know, Josh and I talking about this, this is regular guy DFS, man. We're not sharps. This is a podcast for guys who like to focus on process, who are, you know, in their free time playing a little DFS on the side because it's fun, not because they're pros, not because they're sharps, not because, you know, they need to make thousands of dollars every year, but because it's a good time, and you like the process of it, the puzzle that is DFS. So my recommendation is always take this core, pivot, make changes, take the plays that you really like, and then move away from it. I'll play this lineup out there or whatever at pivots I make. I'll play a podcast lineup just to kind of make sure that these guys are hitting value. And, you know, with them, for the most part, we've been really solid on our value plays. I think where most of the struggles have been on just on studs underperforming, but pretty good cash game record for the pod lineup. So here's what we're going to do. Okay. This is how I'm building this lineup. I'm going through and I'm being disciplined and I'm locking in all the value that I know is on this board. And then I'm going to build out from there. Okay. So starting at point guard, I love Raymond Felton, 4'9", locking in. At shooting guard, it's Deontay Murray, 3'8", against Brooklyn. Even in a blowout, Murray should get minutes. Okay, great there. Lock him in. Small forward, Ingles, 3'9". Great price for a guy who is in the starting lineup, getting 28-plus minutes every single night. And then at power forward, it's David Lee. Now, I'm going to keep my eye on the Lee news, because if maybe Lee gets, you know, restricted minutes just because of, you know, playing a lot the other night, then I might move on to Dedmon at center and try to, you know, just, hey, be disciplined, go with where the value is. Okay, so those guys are all in really good positions. Felton, Murray, Ingles, and Lee. Now that leaves me with 8-4 at every other position to fill in 5 roster spots. So I'm going to start down again. I'm going to go to center. I really like Miles Turner at 6-3. I'm going to stick with that. That even ups now my per player value to 9K. Okay, fine, 9K. I know how I want to spend this up on these guys. My studs that I really like tonight are Wall and Giannis. So boom, I plug in Wall, I plug in Giannis. That gives me 7-7. I talked a little bit about a price down regression candidate that I liked at small forward in Paul George. Paul George at 7K, good price. That leaves me with $8,500. So I have $8,500 to plug in a power forward. You know, obviously I can't get to Brow. Leaves me with Draymond or Millsap. And honestly, I really like Draymond in this situation. Picking on the interior of the Heat is the way to attack them. You know, we know that there's value at power forward. So, you know, okay, fine, I could maybe take this and divide this up into 2 6K guys. But if I want low cost exposure to the Warriors, then I think Draymond is probably a great way to go. He's a stat sheet stuffer. So Draymond it is. All right, John Wall, Raymond Felton, Deontay Murray, Giannis, Ingles, Paul George, David Lee, Draymond Green, and Miles Turner. Not bad at all. There's late news about any of these guys, and obviously I'll make some pivots and I'll let you guys know on Twitter. Thank you for tuning in today. That is it for me. If you want to find me on Twitter, you know where to find me. It's Hey Mr. Kane, HAHEYMRKANE. Please follow, retweet, interact, subscribe on iTunes, and rate and review, man. You got a positive review? I appreciate it. You guys, good luck in your contest tonight, and I will see you tomorrow.